This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. So I'm delighted to have Roy Beard on with me today as we approach Inauguration Day on Friday. That's only 2 days away. And Roy Beard can be heard each Tuesday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., as well as each weekday at 11:55 here on BPN Radio. I know a lot of prophetic men who can predict the future. In fact, there are some Christian radio stations who are committed just to doing nothing but talking about the future. And I do believe that is very, very important. But my guest today, Roy Beard, who's a regular on BPN Radio, has a unique gift of declaring what is happening in the here and now. That's just that's very important for us to discern the times. The sons of Issachar discerned the times in which they were living. Roy Beard is a man that understands the times in which we are living, not just according to what our liberal media is saying, but his prophetic discernment concerning the times in which we're living is quite remarkable and unique. And Roy has a way of articulating it so that every one of us can understand. From the intellect to the redneck, he understands, and he does not mince words. He tells it like it is. So you either sort of hate him, and I say that with tongue in cheek, you either kind of sort of hate him, but boy, if you love him, you love him, because he speaks what is in his heart, and he has a way of making it plain. I've known few men that can hold an audience for an hour, but Roy has that unique gift and ability. And so, Roy, it's good to have you as a regular on BPN Radio. You've been with us now just about the time from the time we went live. And I know you have a great following. I don't know if you enjoy being controversial or not, but you are. I guess anybody that declares the truth is quite controversial. And but you not only have a great speaking voice and one who's able to articulate, but you write these articles, these blogs that I read and really enjoy. So it's good to have you on today. Welcome to the Wednesday Watch.
Oh, it's good to be here, and I'm thrilled to be a part of BPN Radio. I'm thrilled to be a part of what you're doing. It's exciting what God's doing and what God's using you to do. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so very, very much. And, of course, even though we've been on the radio together for a little less than a year, almost a year, we've been friends for a long time. Our friendship goes way, way back. Way back to the Watermoon Capital of the state of the nation, I guess. Of course, there's a lot of cities now that claim to be the Watermelon Capital. I thought Rush Springs, Oklahoma was, but there's one down in Alabama and some others. Hey, it's good to have you on today. These are momentous days, and I want to ask you some questions today concerning what you see happening or discern happening right now. Sometimes it's easy. I'm not discounting prophetic words, because I've been a prophetic voice for a long time in America, since 1985. Yep. But we need to have some discernment about what's going on now, not just predicting the future, but declaring what is taking place. And so I'd like to, if you're okay with that, this is unrehearsed, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've not sent you the questions, so this is unrehearsed. But I would like to ask you some questions, your discernment, your insight, and I believe it's Holy Spirit insight, Holy Ghost insight.
Right.
Paul said concerning, the times, we don't need to be ignorant of the times. And so let's not be ignorant, because I don't believe we have to be ignorant. But I believe everything is changing, not only in America, but in the church. You know, I've afforded people an opportunity to go to church now twice a day, every day of the week. And I know that some people, maybe even some church leaders, would scoff at that. But I do discern that because of what's happening in America, not everybody can go to church on Sunday morning.
Right.
And so I give people an opportunity to go to church every day of the week, twice a day, 8 a.m., 8 p.m. And some people say, well, you know, I don't understand what you're doing. Are you trying to discount the local church? And my response is absolutely not. I'm all for the local church and people having a local pastor. But there's so many people that do not have a pastor. They may attend church somewhere, but they don't know the pastor. The pastor does not know them. They've never met the pastor. Some people just do not have a pastor, and some people are not able to attend church on Sunday morning. So that's right. That's kind of a prelude to what I want to ask you, because I know that times are changing. So, you know, here we are right on the doorstep of Inauguration Day Friday. And what do you see going on in America right now as we approach Inauguration Day, as Donald J. Trump is inaugurated as our 45th president? And what do you see happening between now and then? I mean, a lot could happen in the next 48 hours.
There's a ton can happen. In fact, the most recent thing that Barack Obama, the president, current president, has done, that is an outgoing slap in the face of our military and our American way of life and our system of government, in the commuting of the sentences, not just of Bradley Manning, that they're calling Chelsea because he's a transgender individual that had been sentenced to 35 years in prison for releasing classified military documents to WikiLeaks and placed Americans in jeopardy and has damaged our ability to secure help in countries that we're having conflict in, because they can't trust us. They don't know what can be trusted and what can't be. But he commuted the sentence of that individual that committed treason after less than 5 years of a 35-year sentence. But then he didn't just stop there. He commuted the sentence of a man that was a part of a terrorist organization that dedicated himself to destroying the government of the United States of America and was part of planting 130 bombs in cities around the world, around America, and he commuted those sentences. How do you do that if you care anything about America? I believe that this is just another example of this president saying, my fundamental plan to fundamentally transform America meant that I was going to wage war on God, I was going to wage war on Christianity, I was going to wage war on the Constitution, and wage war on everything that America's ever stood for. And Dale, the sad thing to me is, there are millions out there that not only voted for him, but support what he's doing. And I believe many of them are ignorant of what's going on, and they don't really understand. But you know what bothers me even more than that? Is there are pastors out there that are backing that kind of play.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. is dangerous for America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm deeply concerned about that, Roy. So many pastors remaining neutral. You know, they even remain neutral concerning the presidential election, even when the Democrats had taken God out of their platform in 2012. Right. Some pastors on the Sunday before election, I know as a fact that many of them did not endorse the Republican candidate, the Republican Party, but they said they were going to remain neutral. Neutrality in churches across America, particularly on the platform behind the pulpit, is causing a lot of distress in our nation, because so many pastors are neutral and they will not talk about these things.
Yeah, they're trying to. I don't mean to blast pastors, but, and you don't, and I know that we both served as pastors, and it's tragic to me that if I am charged, and as a minister we are charged with caring for the sheep, we're supposed to watch out for the flock. A shepherd in the Bible, his life was on the line to protect the sheep. He put himself between the sheep and danger. And sadly, too many pastors are trying to defend the position, trying to make sure that they don't upset the boat. Listen, you mentioned a while ago you didn't know if I enjoyed being controversial. No, I've never sought to be controversial, but everywhere I read in the Bible, every time somebody would stand up and stand for truth and warn against the flow that everything was going in and say, wait a minute, this is a mistake, you're going in the wrong direction, there was controversy and there was pushback and there was criticism. Somebody said one time about me, kind of what you said a while ago, you either love Roy or you hate him. There's no in between with him.
Well, you know, Jesus, he created, a lot of people say, well, we just need to love like Jesus. Yeah, we do.
Absolutely.
But Jesus created a lot of controversy. I mean, he called out the media of his day, the scribes. He called out the newspaper, and, you know, if it had been television reporters, he'd have done that. He called out the media, and he called out the Pharisees. I mean, he did not relent. He did not step aside, but he spoke face to face and called. I mean, he called them quite a few names.
Yes, he did.
So we cannot avoid sharing what is going on in this nation, what is happening in this nation. And, you know, I think it's very, very important that we understand history, because if we understand history, you know where we're going in the future. But what about the present? And that's what we need to begin to look at, because we are a prayer network, but we need to know what to pray about. Now, we do have individual needs, people having surgeries, people that are without a job. We pray for these individual needs, but we need to know what is happening in our cities, in our nation. So here we are, 50 hours, depending on what time you're listening to this broadcast, 2 days away from the inauguration, and you see President Obama doing more commutations. You see him doing more pardons. What do you see him doing in these next 48 hours? You have any insight there?
Well, I do think he'll do more commutation of sentences. He's already commuted 1,385 sentences and pardoned 212 individuals that were guilty of crimes. Now, some of them, maybe they should be commuted. Maybe some of them should be pardoned. But some of them, like closing Gitmo and things like that, one of the things that I see happening is some of this, like John Lewis, the congressman, and others that are going to boycott the inauguration and that kind of thing going on. I know that I have recently become aware that Barack Obama is part of a group that's setting up a plan to disrupt everything that happens in the Trump administration and try to prevent him from being able to accomplish anything that he's promised to do and the American people want done. So Barack Obama's going to stay in Washington. But what I see in the next 2 days, and what deeply, deeply concerns me, is that we've got this mass of people moving into Washington, D.C., and that are paid protesters, many of them, and they're coming in, and they said, we're going to not only disrupt commerce, we're going to disrupt traffic, we're going to destroy property, and we're going to incite riots. Well, that's a federal offense, and if the Republicans had done that when Barack Obama was president, being inaugurated, there would have been arrest, mass arrest, and people would have been incarcerated. Then you've got the bikers that are moving in and other groups that are on the right moving in to stand as a wall between the protesters and the inauguration. My concern, a big concern, and I've had this for months, is that everything could come to a head. We could have massive violence going on even before we get to Friday, possibly today, possibly tomorrow, that would create such chaos that it would disrupt everything. And although I my sense is that we're going to have an inauguration, but that we could have such chaos that we would literally have to have troops in the street to quell the violence and push us toward a civil war. We need to pray that we don't go to civil war, because we're almost there.
Yeah, and I believe, Roy, that it's not only in D.C., but I believe in major cities across America.
Absolutely.
And I would encourage all Christians, unless you've been called to go down into the downtown of your major city, you stay home unless you're called to walk the streets. We could have major violence in cities all across America.
Absolutely.
Roadways, interstates, highways shut down. And we don't speak by fear, but we're talking about something we need to pray about. So Friday could definitely be a violent day across America, not only in our nation's capital, but in cities all across America. We need to pray. You know, I prophesied last year about this time, because I get prophetic words, particularly the opening of a new year, about Barack Obama still living in the White House in 2017. And he is still occupying the White House. Most presidents historically have stepped down by this time, moving out, turning the reins over to the incoming administration, making a smooth transition. But he is still in the White House come 2017, as the Holy Spirit spoke to me he would be. A lot of people thought that meant, well, he's just going to continue to be the president in 2017 because of certain things, although there could possibly be disruptions before Inauguration Day that would cause a delay. Who knows what's going to happen?
Absolutely.
But he's continuing to live in the White House still and making these executive decisions. If we have ever prayed, we need to pray now. So these are crucial times.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I see, and you've talked about it, and I know some of your guests have talked about it, I see a parallel thing happening, and it's happening right now. And I see it in local churches, that there is almost in some churches, almost a divide, like you can see a stream flowing down the middle, and some people are flowing one direction and some flowing another. And if a pastor does not stand up and lead the way and point the right direction, there needs to be a prophetic voice in the church. We need the prophetic voice in the church that says this is the direction, because the prophetic voice is kind of like the rudder on a ship. It helps you to go in the right direction. It's like the sentry that goes out in front, the scout for an army troop that can help you know the way and point the way. It's like a guide that helps you to find the right way. Thank God for the apostolic anointing that helps put everything together, but in the Bible, you had the apostles and the prophets working as a tandem team, and a lot of the church today has so discounted the prophetic that they're thinking, oh, well, you know, that all you're trying to do is just give people personal words. No, that's a part of it, but that's not all of it.
Right.
The part of it is saying, this is what God's saying, and this is what we need to do, and we need the church more than we've ever needed the church to become a prayer warrior. In fact, I don't believe that we can put on the whole armor of God and effectively use that armor of God if we don't do it through prayer. Prayer is the only way that makes it effective. In fact, it energizes that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're losing that in the church. But we're gaining it back at the same time.
Yeah.
And I see a move of that right now, and that encourages me. I'm excited about it. We're about to go to war, and I don't mean necessarily bloodshed in the street, but we're about to go to war in America in a way that we've never seen war fought, and we're not going to fight with the weapons that we normally fought with. We're going to fight with spiritual weapons, and people like you and your voice and this radio station and program is going to help inspire people to do that. But as far as what I see happening in the next few days, I'm very concerned that there are some things that Barack Obama may do in executive orders. If he does it in executive order, some of those can be transformed. But he's putting people out of his White House staff into government job that won't be so easy to move them. And he's shaping a bureaucracy that's going to be make it incredibly difficult for the Trump administration to enact some of the things they want to do.
Well, I believe that. And he is remaining in Washington, D.C., which historically, I don't know, maybe a long time ago, but historically no one has done. They move on to go back to their home, and it'd be good if he'd go back to the Windy City, but he's not going to do that. He says he's going to remain there because of his daughter's schooling, but he wants to remain in power. And so I believe that there is a spiritual war going on.
Yes.
I believe that Satan was very discouraged on the election of Donald J. Trump and Mike Pence. I think he's very discouraged, and he's doing everything he can to stir up demonic forces, demonic powers in this nation. And, you know, like you said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why we want to have on our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. And that's why we're watching for the saints and praying in the Holy Ghost, because we know that there could be tremendous physical warfare in America, but even more than that, we're in a spiritual warfare, and the church must be engaged, and the leader, the prayer leader of every church. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, so-and-so is the prayer leader of our church, but the actual prayer leader of the church is the pastor, the lead pastor. And if that lead pastor is not calling his people to pray, then the church is not engaged. So,
right. You
know, we're doing everything we can here, Roy, to call America to pray. We're not praying for America. We're calling America to pray, because we know that prayer is the key. But we're also giving some legs to our prayers. I've heard that a long time. Put legs to your prayers. And
yes.
I believe that. That is somebody said,
yes.
Well, that's old school. But I believe that's what happens. And so the church must pray. And with the greatest power, the greatest authority we have is the church praying together corporately. That's what they were doing.
Amen.
On the
Amen.
Day of Pentecost. And while we pray, we're engaging in spiritual warfare, but we're also receiving revelation. You know, it's amazing that
exactly.
that the Bible all of a sudden would just start talking about for just a short time, a few moments, about the sons of Issachar. They understood their times.
Yes.
And we don't hear much about the sons of Issachar except that they understood their times. But I believe that is a major contribution you're making to BPN Radio audience and to the body of Christ, discerning and calling out what is happening, what is taking place, and reminding people of what we need to pray about. And so, what say you?
I agree wholeheartedly. My wife, I don't watch much television, but every now and then I'll sit down, she'll be watching a program, and I'll get just a few minutes into it, and I'll say, wait a minute, this is their underlying message. I am able to see what the message is. And she said, you can't enjoy watching anything like that because you're always seeing what's going on behind the scenes. I said, I can't help that. That's the way God makes me.
Yeah.
He's made me that way because he called me to be a watchman on the wall. And we need to, the church needs to desperately be aware of what, not just what's happening, but why it's happening. What's mm-hmm. the motivation behind it? Mm-hmm. What is the motivator behind it? Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced, well, I mean, what could we say about abortion other than it's inspired from hell? That's a tool of the devil
mm-hmm.
to discredit and devalue human life. Well, if mm-hmm. you devalue human life in one place, where will you devalue human life in another place? I had somebody tell me, well, Roy, you've got to understand in abortion, in a case of rape, then a woman ought to have the right to abort that baby. I said, let me ask you one simple question. Do you believe it's right to punish the innocent? And they looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, isn't that baby in the womb innocent?
Mm-hmm.
I said, when did it get right to punish the innocent? And the Bible in the Old Testament, it talks about the same punishment being given to a person that causes the death of a baby in the womb as it does for a person that commits murder. So I know what God thinks about it, but that's just one of the many, 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 many things that we're talking about. We have gotten away. George Washington said in his first inaugural address that if we turned our way away from what God was doing, we could not expect the propitious smiles of heaven upon a nation that did not value and honor his word and his principle.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come there. Mm-hmm. We're there. And our whole world is there. Of course, we know we're in the last days. Well, that's okay. But what you said a moment ago about putting legs on the prayer, my basic conviction is, and this is what I believe the Lord's instructed me, is first of all, he wants us to be aware of what is happening. He wants us to understand and discern why it's happening so that we'll see what's going on. He wants us to pray to get the direction that he wants us to take, and then it's our responsibility to walk that out in this normal life. He'll give us the words, he'll give us the equipment, he'll give us the ability, but it's up to us to be faithful and carry it out. Had Daniel not done what he told him to do, then Daniel would have been destroyed in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
Had David not been a man of after God's own heart, Israel would have been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that Paul was willing to quit kicking against the pricks when he finally met Jesus, and he used that massive knowledge that he had, wealth of knowledge, to apply it to the gospel. So we do need, as you said, put legs to our prayers. We need to walk out what God's telling us to do. And if we know to do good, and we don't do it, well, the Bible makes it clear. That's sin.
That's true.
And it's sin. And if a pastor won't talk about what God's saying, then I'm sorry. We've got a problem, and we need to correct that problem. And I'm not suggesting revolting on pastors. I'm asking for pastors to have a change of heart and begin to say, God's word and God's people are more important than my position or what people think about me. I'm not concerned about what people think about me. I am to a degree. We all humans are. I'd like for everybody to like me, but they're not going to. But more than anything else, I know that if I see danger coming and I warn of that danger and I prevent somebody from having the destruction of that danger, America or an individual, then in the end, they're going to love what happened, whether they love me or not.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying, Roy. I agree. You know, it's important that we pray for certain things, but also that we get involved. We know that we can't get involved in everything.
Right.
But, you know, I had a guest on the other day, a young lady that plays background music, Courtney Vandiver Piera, and she last year was nominated for a Grammy Award. But, you know, she has a tremendous burden for these young ladies that are trapped in human trafficking. And, that's, of course, that's one of the things the Democratic Party is trying to use to get their abortion agenda approved. They say, well, these young ladies in human trafficking, we can't afford to let them be bearing children and their illegitimate children. So, but, you know, once again, we go back to the innocent. But Courtney, she was not only praying, but her and her husband both have become involved in the human trafficking situation in Houston. And she says that police are looking the other way. Many people are looking the other way, not doing it, when she can just walk in and see what is happening, you know, in different buildings in Houston. She says, of course, with the Super Bowl coming up, that level of human trafficking is going to be astronomical. But here she goes in, not getting paid, has a lot, you know, she plays for the Boston Symphony, other symphonies, and she could be out, you know, doing, performing, but she goes in to minister to these women and older women, younger women that are involved in this human sex trafficking. So she prayed for a long time, but then, you know, she said, I've got to do something. She had this burden for autistic children. And so she was praying for autistic children, but she took her cello, which she is very professional, and takes her cello into these autistic locations where they treat autistic kids, and she plays the cello for them. So she is she's a young lady of prayer, but she is doing something about it. You know,
right.
My pastor in Fort Worth, Texas, Bob Nichols, his team has been going out on the streets of Fort Worth. They won over 107,000 people, and they talk about soul winning, but they have actually been doing it now for 4.5 years. And so there needs to be a call to prayer, but a call to action. So Jesus said we've got to watch and pray, and
right.
we watch what's going on. Yesterday, my friend Chuck Pelham, pastor in Clewiston, Florida, his program is on live every Sunday on BPN Radio. You know, he's called his people to run for political office. In fact, the mayor of Clewiston, Florida, is a member of his church, and I have met her and visited with her. A very godly woman has won 2 or 3 terms as mayor of Clewiston, which is, I guess, the sugar capital of the world. And so, you know, it's an involvement. And so we must
yes.
pray. So we must pray, and we must get involved. And so that's why here on BPN Radio, we not only are calling America to pray, but we're calling them to watch and pray and to get involved, particularly with what's going on in America ASAP. So what can Christians do here as we approach the scheduled inauguration of Donald J. Trump?
Well, absolutely, we need to pray for safety, and we need to pray for a smooth transition of that. But moving beyond that in the days to come, what you said, and you've said it numerous times, and I've heard you say it, and I agree with it, and I've said the same thing. The problem we've had, I believe, is that we're trying to, we've got this thing somewhat reversed. We're trying to change everything from the top and let it flow down. If we're going to change the attitude and change the culture and change the whole political gamut in America, we're going to change it from the bottom up, from the grassroots up. We're going to change it in the school boards. We're going to change it in the local city election.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to change it then moving up to the county elections. We're going to mm-hmm. move into the state elections. And if we'll do that, if the church would become involved in the grassroots of their community, not just preaching the gospel. Yes, we preach the gospel, but I believe that one of the most powerful witnesses we can have for God is to demonstrate godliness in a daily walk by doing the things that the church ought to be doing. Let's care for the poor. Let's care for the needy. Let's care for the downtrodden. Let's get involved when the school system is teaching things that are contrary to God's word. Let's get involved. So what do? We pray. Let's pray for a peaceful transition, and then let's pray for our congressman. In fact, I would encourage everybody to contact your congressman and your senator right now and let them know that you want them to get on board, not just to get behind Donald Trump carte blanche and say, whatever you want, we're going to do, but to get behind that which is right. And I don't care which party you're a part of, get behind America and say, we want to make America, restore America. People keep calling this our democracy. Well, we're not a democracy per se. We're a republic. We're a Republican democracy. If we were a pure democracy, then Hillary Clinton would be president, and the majority would rule. And on any given day, we might have a complete change in the White House and in Washington because the mood of people changed, and we'd demand an election and have a Democratic gathering. But we have a congressional legislative system of government, and we need to pray God preserve this, because mm-hmm. we've been given rights by God that if we don't become involved, as you said, if we don't get involved, then we're going to lose our freedom, and the church is going to be relegated to hiding almost, and to where we can't openly step out. God's still going to be God. We're still going to see revival. We're still going to see the harvest, but we can have a greater harvest if we will get behind this thing and make sure that we help preserve America.
I agree. So we're praying the hedge of protection over the election, over Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and we are praying that once the inauguration takes place, that the church will not just take a sigh of relief and say, well, you know, we're gonna skate for the next 4 years. No, we've got to be very actively involved, and we must pray and obey and get involved in what is happening in America, as you said, particularly the political realm. And I believe that, you know, it's imperative that every church and every pastor begin to encourage his people to get involved in either running for political office. We know this is what Franklin Graham was proposing and encouraging. I wholeheartedly agree that every pastor, he may need to run for political office. I had a friend of mine on several weeks ago that he became the mayor of his city in California and made a major difference there. And so there needs to be involvement, even pastors running for political office, somebody in their church, and even people that may not feel like they're very qualified. You know, when I was in Rush Springs, and of course you and I spent some time in Rush Springs.
Right.
But, you know, my friend Spencer Bernard, he approached me one day, and after I'd moved to Oklahoma City, and said, Dale, I'm going to run for lieutenant governor of the state of Oklahoma. He said, I have a high school diploma, but I don't have a college degree. I've never been to college one day in my life. I'm a peanut farmer. I've had some political experience in the state Senate. He said, but there's already 16 people that are running for lieutenant governor. And so I encouraged him, had him on my radio program, prayed for him. And one day he called me up and said, Dale, I'm taking you and Gene out for lunch today. You're going to go out with the governor of the state of Oklahoma because Governor George Nye is out of the country. And I'm thinking, sitting there having some barbecue at County Line Barbecue in Oklahoma City, that we're sitting here with the governor of the state of Oklahoma, was a peanut farmer, came from a little town of 1,400 people, no college education, and yet here he is in the sitting in the second most powerful seat in the yes. state of Oklahoma. And that day, of course, he was the governor. And so it just proves what a person can do. I have a friend. I do have a friend in Congress, and I'm going to be sending him a text after the program today, encouraging him. And I was up there a year or two ago visiting with him. But I mean, it didn't look like he could possibly be elected to the United States Congress, but he overcame all odds, all adversity. And I'm here to say today that I believe that every Christian either needs to be running for political office or supporting one of their friends or someone. And yes. even at the lower, school board, city council, right. that'd be good places to start. School boards, any elected official. And, if you want to be in law enforcement, the only law enforcement office now that is elected is the county sheriff.
Right.
But, you know, there's opportunities out there. And so we need to realize.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, that's what my thought was and has been for a long time. What better way to demonstrate the power of God in a life and demonstrate what it can be than a person to be involved in politics and maintain integrity and honesty and spirituality and maintain all of that. Present that image to the world, because right now most people look at politicians and say, well, they're all corrupt. Well, they're not all corrupt. You've just mentioned some that were not corrupt.
Right.
And I know some that are not corrupt, but they all tell me when I talk to them, it's incredibly difficult because there's so few of us, mm-hmm. and they're not enough. But if we'll get involved in local organization, mm-hmm. I mean, have an impact on your community. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you can to impact your community. Get outside the four walls of your house. Get outside the four walls of your church. Get outside your comfort zone and go with God, because if we step out, I've never just ascribed to God helps them that help themselves per se, but there is a truth in that. God will help us when we step out on his word. He said, I'll go before you. He told Moses, I'll go before you. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go, don't send us. I don't want to go if you're not going. We need to be like Isaiah when he said, who will go? And we need to say, how about me, Lord? I'm mm-hmm. willing. I'll volunteer. Mm-hmm. And if God doesn't want us to go, he'll tell us that, and he'll tell us who to get behind. And then we, as you said, get behind somebody, get involved, because if we're going to turn this around, and we can, God, I believe that, mm-hmm. that we need to do it beginning at in our sphere of influence, whatever that is, if it's 5 people or if it's 5,000 people, mm-hmm. to use our sphere of influence to impact people for right and for God.
I agree with that, Roy. Well, we've been watching, we're going to pray, and however the Holy Spirit leads you, let's pray a while and about what's going on this week in this nation, in D.C., and the cities of our nation. So I'll play some worship music and you can pray.
Okay. Father, we just come to you. Lord, I know that you set up kings and you take them down. Lord, I know that you have a plan, and that's a good plan for our lives. You have a desire for America. I don't believe that you birthed this nation back in 1776 and allowed us to win the Revolutionary War that was against all odds. And I don't believe that you've kept us free and kept us sovereign for all of these years for us to just fall by the wayside now as a castaway. Lord, I don't believe that you've done that. I believe that you brought us, as you did with Esther, as Mordecai said to Esther, Lord, who knows what we've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And Donald J. Trump just may be that person that you've raised up to cause America to realize how far we've drifted and how far we've fallen and how far we've gotten away from the basic core principles that you have designed and desired for America and the world. And I pray that you'll stir up the body of Christ, stir up every pastor, that we become men of prayer and women of prayer, cause us in the churches to begin to get involved and get our hands dirty in the work. And I don't mean get dirty with corruption, but get our hands dirty in the work, roll up our sleeves and say, I'll help you carry that burden. I'll help you tote that load. I'll help you handle that job. I'll help you deal with that problem. And let us be people that understand what's going on, discern our times, and discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Lord, help us to bring faith and love and commitment and zeal and fervor into our communities, and help us to realize what's going on. But Lord, I pray that you put a special hedge of protection around Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the whole team. Lord, that you prevent any attempt of the enemy to come in and disrupt that, and let it be a testimony to the world that even though there is division, even though there is dissension, even though there are those that plan chaos, that you are still God and our American system still works. And I pray then after this inauguration, Lord, that you will help Congress, and I ask that you cause Donald Trump and his team to make the right decisions, even if they don't understand why they're making the decision, but the decision that will bring America back into harmony, and we will return to being a nation whose God is the Lord. Help us to rise up, to stand up, and to stand for faith, to stand for family, and to stand for freedom. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father God, I set myself in agreement with Roy Beard. Concerning this week in America.
Yes.
I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll protect our nation.
Amen.
That you will protect the cities of our nation as well as the capital city of our nation, Washington, D.C. We pray that you'll protect the Inauguration Day activities and festivities. We plead the blood of Jesus over America. In Jesus' name, I pray concerning the bikers that have declared they're going to form a wall of meat around the activities. We bind the spirit of violence, and we ask, O God, that you come and watch over this transition that we believe has come about as a result of the prayers of your people, yes, including the prayer teams at BPN Radio and Breakout Prayer Network. We ask God for your help. We bind all spirits of violence.
Yes.
I pray today that pastors will be calling their people to pray this week, and that prayer leaders will be calling the members of their prayer team to intercede. God, we ask for your help, and we need your help now. And Lord, we know that even though we're having a new president make his way into the White House, we know the war will continue. We know that we have been in a moral downfall in this nation. And Lord, we believe that there is going to be another spiritual awakening. We ask, O God, for divine intervention in the streets of our city, in our classrooms, on our college campuses, and in the political offices, both local and translocal and state, as well as national. We need your help today. We repent on behalf of the sins of our nation. We repent on behalf of the over 59 million babies that have been aborted. We repent for taking prayer out of our schools. And we repent, Lord, for removing the name of Jesus out of our town squares and town centers. Lord, we need your help. And we ask, O God, that you help us now in Jesus' name as we call America to pray. I pray that you'll bless Roy Beard and his daily voice here on BPN Radio. Bless him and bless his family. All he puts his hand to do. We know that he's not only a man that understands the time, but he's a great patriot, a man that served in Vietnam, a man that loves his country, who speaks the truth. And I bless Roy Beard right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Roy, tell us how we can get your daily blogs. You have a daily blog, and then you have a daily devotion. You're a great writer, excellent writer, and you've been doing this for how long? Have you been doing these blogs?
Oh, I've been doing it for about 4 years now, I think, something like that. The blog to where I speak about things that would be in line with discerning the times would be roybeard, BEAIRD.com, and that'll take you right to that blog. And the other is royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. Of course, I'm on Facebook, so you can just Google that, and I'd be happy to have any response anybody had and answer any questions that I can. I write what I write simply because I try to write what I hear God saying and try to do what I see him doing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And you do a great job of doing that. Roy Beard, thanks for being on today. This Friday, we're going to be doing some prayer. Maybe I can contact you sometime during the day if you're available. We're going to be doing some live feeds from the inauguration. And, it's going to be not just a normal day here on BPN Radio. Thank you for participating, and thank you for being a vital part of our team. Thank you for being on today. God bless you, Roy.
Bless you, sir.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
What if you could go back and relive one day of your life all over again and unmake the mistake that left you a million miles away from the you you once knew? Now yesterday's shame keeps saying that you'll never get back on track. But what if I told you you're one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home. One step from arms wide open, his love has never let you go. You're not alone, you're one step away.
matter how far you've gone. Mercy says you don't have to keep running down the road. You're on. Love's never met a lost cause. Your shame, lay it down. Leave your ghost in the past, cause you know that you can't go back, but you can turn around. You've never been more than one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home. One step from arms wide open, his love has never let you go.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Of me, God, more of you and less of me.